and welcome back to Activity Quest, the podcast that's packed with stuff to do. In this week's episode, Adam's visiting the National Space Centre in Leicester. All right, my name's Bex, and every episode of Activity Quest starts with a presenter doing something awesome. And this week, Adam is in Leicester at the National Space Centre. It's a museum dedicated to space science and astronomy. So Adam's finding out a little bit more.
My name is Mike. I work at the National Space Centre, and I am a space communications presenter. Ooh, so right now we're in the Boosters Cafe, and this is a great place to start, actually, because right above us is the Soyuz capsule. It is a real-life module used to take the astronauts to the International Space Station. It has been used since the 60s, and the one we have here is a real one. Now, we didn't realise it was a real one for a while. We thought it was a model. But then eventually we actually took a closer look and saw some interesting detailings on it, and we realized this is actually one of the flight spares. So we often get asked, oh, has this been to space if it's a real one? And the answer is no, because the things that go to space, when they come back, they don't come back in one piece. So if you ever see a real world spacecraft, rocket, anything like that, and it looks amazing, that's because it was made next to the real ones that went to space as a spare, just in case the originals actually didn't work. Because when you build it, you build a bunch just in case you have any problems. So yeah, this I think is one of our most impressive pieces, and it's the first thing you see when you come through.
So we're just walking up to some space suits now. Big neon lights above them. Training, launch, living, working, landing. I guess this is the story of an astronaut in space?
Absolutely. So what we've got is a collection of different outfits, shall we say, that you might wear if you enter into an astronaut's career path. So when you're going up there, you'd use something like the launch suit that we have here. The one we've got is Tim Peake's. So he is an ex-ESA astronaut, the European Space Agency, and he would have worn one of these pressure suits when you travel up and down, because if something goes wrong and all the air whips out of your rocket into space, you want to have something that can protect you. So you wear these hard duty suits that give you a little bubble of Earth atmosphere around you. Really good for your health. We have other things as well. For example, we've got Piers Sellers' flight suit. So he would have been using that for earlier missions before he went and became an astronaut. We've got our constant wear garments. It's basically space pajamas, because when you're up there, you need something comfortable, and you get all sorts of ones there. So this one is Buzz Aldrin's actual one, so it's quite cool that we've got that. We've got the Hydra suit at the end, so that's a special wetsuit that you wear when you're landing in the ocean, because when you finish your mission, you're probably going to land in the sea, and you need to be wearing the special equipment for that. You don't want to be wearing big, thick, heavy clothes that'll sink you down. And our most interesting one, I think, is probably our working spacesuit. This isn't a real one. It's actually a prop, a movie prop from the film The Martian. So that was a film that tried to be scientifically accurate. It looked at real-world suits and built their own version of it, a prospective future one that would take us to Mars. And so you can see it's actually very accurate to what you've got in real life, but it just looks a little bit extra, looks a little bit Hollywood. And Matt Damon's very tall.
It's bigger than all of the rest.
Oh yeah, I think Matt Damon is quite a tall guy, so it's an absolutely towering spacesuit. The real versions of these, though, are incredibly heavy. You've got 18 layers, weighs about 20 stone. Of course, that's not a problem when gravity isn't in effect when you're floating above Earth, but you don't want to wear this when you're on the ground.
So as we come around the corner here, we enter sort of the Space Center proper. If you like, you're fully into it. These are the exhibits.
That's a good way to put it. We've just gone through the kind of the entryway. Now you've got this array of different exhibits, like Into Space. That looks at the equipment we use to travel into space, very astronaut focused. We've got the universe. That's got lots of details about galaxies and things like that. And it's got a few satellites in there. Our solar system looks at the planets. And then we have Home Planet, which of course focuses on the best planet, in my opinion, planet Earth. If you want to see something really cool, then we've got to check out the Nakhla meteorite. So I recommend maybe we go to our solar system, because I think this is one of the things that sometimes gets overlooked by visitors when they arrive at the centre, because it's a little bit smaller than you might expect. So if we go this way.
This is your favourite thing in the entire place.
Ooh, that's a hard one to pin down. I'll put it this way. If it was up to me, I'd put a big neon sign above it so it would draw everyone's attention to it, because it is so cool, but I just feel like people see it and go, huh? All right. So, as we come around, you're going to see we've got some rock specimens. We've got a little Mars made-up paddock with a rover in it, so it's like you're drawing a rover on Mars. These aren't what we're looking at. We're going to go to the Nakhla meteorite over here. If you come on over, you'll see it is quite a small little rock. What that is a meteorite. So a rock that's come from space, landed on Earth, and it landed in Egypt, an area called Nakhla, hence the name. They knew it was from space, but back then, they had no idea where it was from, originally. So now that we've actually been there, we've sent robots there, taken soil samples, we can compare it to what this is made of, the Nakhla meteorite. It is 100% a piece of the planet Mars, the Martian surface. So something must have collided with Mars, sent up this debris into space, and eventually that got pulled into Earth's gravity and landed on Earth. And I think that is just such an amazing thing that we have here, and hence why I'd have a bazillion neon lights pointing directly towards it so you couldn't miss it, because so, it is a subtle one.
Yeah, to describe what we're looking at, there's sort of a Perspex stand, there's a piece of meteorite, a piece of rock, that's probably about the same size as your thumb,
yep,
sitting on top. And then three spotlights just kind of illuminating.
It looks very dramatic.
It does.
It's very cool. So yeah, another piece of a piece of another planet in our galleries. I think that's one of my absolute favourites. I love looking at this and thinking about the journey it's taken.
So from pieces of literal other planets,
yes,
to something a bit more of this world, you're going to take me to look at some baked beans.
Absolutely. Okay, so when you're talking about space, it can be really difficult to get, you know, get across some of the more complicated ideas and things going out there. So it's really important to be able to ground it in what we all know and understand. So one of the oldest exhibits that we have here that I think is absolutely fantastic at doing that is our baked bean challenge. So we have a bunch of different fake tins of beans laid out in our gallery. And what they do is they represent the different gravity of different planets and other objects in space. So you have your Earth tin starting us off there. You'll see all the tins are labeled. And if you pick up the Earth tin, if you just pull it up, you'll feel it's kind of like your regular weight of a tin of beans that you might have at home in your kitchen. Pretty standard. You're kind of grounded with that one. Now let's try out a different location. Why don't you try out Mercury? Because Mercury's a smaller planet.
Ooh.
What do you notice with that?
That's lighter.
Absolutely. Your tin of beans is much easier to carry.
It's the same weight.
Yeah.
But lighter because of the gravity.
Absolutely. Without that extra gravity, the weight is actually reduced on that one for you. What do you try out Jupiter next?
Try Jupiter.
So Jupiter's, of course, our biggest planet.
That's much heavier.
You have to use both hands to pick up that tin of beans.
Both hands.
So that makes breakfast a little bit more difficult on Jupiter. But I think our real challenge is, why don't you try out the Sun?
Doesn't budge at all.
Not at all. Of course, the Sun is about 99% plus of everything in our solar system. It's absolutely gigantic, so its gravity is as good as it gets in our solar system. So yeah, I think this is a great way of demonstrating the different gravities of different planets and that idea of the bigger or smaller something is in space, well, the different amount of gravity it has on, the effect it has on other things.
People might be familiar with the National Space Centre.
Yeah.
Because they might have seen a big rocket in what looks to me like a canopy made out of a pool toy.
Yeah, it does look a little bit like an inflatable in the swimming pool, doesn't it?
We're sitting at the bottom of this rocket now. What are we looking at?
So we've got two real-world rockets. There is Thor Abel, an American rocket, and we have Blue Streak, which was a European one. So what we have are rockets from an era where we finished World War II, you know, conflict is over, so now we're kind of looking at this new rocket technology we have and we're trying to come up with ideas for it. They were originally intended to maybe be weapons, but as peace kind of started getting more of a solidified thing, we started then using them for things like satellite deployment. Maybe we can use this in a new way and deploy a new type of technology around the Earth. And Thor Able, of course, again, this one we know hasn't been to space because it's still in one piece, but this is the type of rocket that America used to actually launch the first mouse into space, Wiki the Mouse. So we have some really interesting rockets here that give you a great snapshot in time of where our scientific focus was and kind of alludes to what is going to come later on. Because satellites, of course, now define our modern lives. So much of our technology has come from satellite things. You know, if you've ever checked your weather app to see if it's going to be raining or anything, well, that's usually a weather satellite now that's telling you the information. If you use a GPS, that's a satellite saying go left or go right. And what's really remarkable about rockets is essentially they're just a big tube for fuel. So if you look at Blue Streak, what we've got in front of us is this massive, towering, imposing metal tube, but it's actually incredibly thin. It's about as thin as your average can of soda, because it is trying to be as efficient as possible. You want to leave Earth and the gravity behind, you've got to have a lot of fuel to have that combustion reaction to get you out of here. Once you're in space, no problem, you need a lot to get there. And I think that's probably our most impressive thing we have at the Space Center, because looking up now, you can see it goes up about, the whole tower's 42 meters tall, to give you an idea. So yeah, I think our rockets are really impressive. And the whole reason we have an inflatable tower is in the first place is how do you get them into the building? What do you do if you need to get them out? What we do is we deflate the walls of the tower and we open up the whole thing like it's a little cabinet, except it's massive, because the rockets, there comes a lot of issue when you're moving them back and forth. And of course, we don't technically own the rockets. We've been loaned them, I think, for about 50 years on a contract. So maybe one day we'll swap them out for different rockets and things like that, or maybe one day we'll keep them for a bit longer. But yeah, you need to think about these things when you're messing around with rockets, because they are just so gigantic.
Do you ever think you will house a rocket from this country that's been blasted off on UK soil?
Well, that's the really exciting thing. So we have been doing space missions for a long time. In fact, the University of Leicester, I think, has sent something to space every year since the late 1960s. We are a really active hub of science development, and that's only enhancing. That's only getting better as time goes on. In the UK, in the last year or so, we've had our first spaceport open up down in Cornwall. We've got a brand new one right at the top of Scotland that's in development. I'm not actually sure if it's finished up yet or not, but it's really close now because I've been talking about it for a couple of years, which means we're going to be able to launch our own rockets, our own spacecraft. You know, it's great working together with other nations and other people, but having our own spaceports means we can actually have access to more things, and it means we can actually see rocket launches from our own little island. And for that, yeah, in the next 50 years, who knows what type of spacecraft might be at the centre, because it's always changing and it's always getting more and more advanced.
Thanks, Adam. You can find out more by searching for the National Space Centre. Plus, we've got some very exciting news too. Something out of this world is coming to Fun Kids, because we are building a space station. The Fun Kids Space Station is going to be the first ever children's radio station dedicated entirely to space, but we can't complete this space mission without you. We want to put you in the captain's seat and have you control the radio station. Fun Kids Space Station is going to be run by a Fun Kids listener. This could be you. You could be in charge. You decide what goes on air, how the radio station should sound, and hopefully that you think I should also present on it as well. Now, give us your out-of-this-world ideas and you might become the youngest ever controller of a radio station. Just tell us the one thing that the Fun Kids Space Station must have on it. Is it space stories? Songs about space? Messages from aliens? Or Bex from Fun Kids? We're going to launch this space station at an event at the National Space Centre, and you'll even get to sleep over there as well. It's going to be absolutely wicked. You can find out more by entering at funkidslive.com. Now, from something out of this world to something you can do at home. Today, we're blasting off into the cosmos with a craft that'll take you on a journey through the stars. A galactic planet mobile, inspired by the National Space Centre in Leicester. The National Space Centre in Leicester invites you to explore the mysteries of the universe. Today, we're bringing the excitement of space exploration into your home with a craft that celebrates the beauty of our solar system. For this craft, you'll need coloured paper or card, markers or crayons, scissors, string or fishing line, beads or small bells, and glue. If you're ready to embark on this cosmic journey, gather these materials and let's begin. For step one, begin by cutting out circles from the coloured paper to represent different planets in our solar system. You can use reference images to guide the sizes and colours of each planet. On to step two, use markers or crayons to add details to each planet, such as rings for Saturn, swirling clouds for Jupiter, and also distinctive surface features for Mars. In step three, you'll need to cut several lengths of string or fishing line and attach them to the planets, allowing them to hang at varying heights. Time for step four, assemble your galactic planet mobile by hanging the planets in a balanced arrangement with the largest planets at the bottom and smallest planets at the top. And the final step, step five, hang your mobile in place where it can catch the light and gently sway, allowing you to marvel at the beauty and diversity of our solar system.
Thanks, Georgia. And just like that, we're done. Remember, there's loads of episodes of Activity Quest that you can go back and listen to at any time. If you want some more suggestions of stuff to do, just scroll back in your podcast app and pick an episode you fancy. I'm Bex, and this has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. It was produced and edited by Adam Stoner. Listen to me on your DAB digital radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Just say, play Fun Kids every weekday from 4 p.m. See you soon.